Hello and welcome into the Sight and Sound Technology Podcast. My name is Stuart Lawler. This is episode number 5 and Happy New Year, everybody. I don't know about you, but it seems a long time since Christmas, doesn't it? But I do hope you had a great break, and I hope you're going to look forward to the year ahead. I hope 2019 will be a great one for you, whatever you do, and I hope you enjoy the selection of podcasts that we're planning to bring you over the next year. And this month, we're with you for just over 30 minutes, so I do hope you can stay with us, because it's all about people this month. We'll be meeting Robbie Ford, a motivational speaker and stand-up comedian, and blogger Amy Hines Fitzpatrick, who has low vision. Plus, I'll be talking to you about the Apple Music app on the BrailleSense Polaris. That's all coming up on this month's podcast. Well, it's January on our podcast. It's a new year and a new beginning. And if you're like me, you're trying to do something different with your life, maybe make a few new goals, get some more exercise, or just do something completely different. Well, on this episode, we plan to try to motivate you with some inspirational people. The first of these is joining us on the phone today. Robbie Ford is living and working in Dublin and has a really great story to tell. Robbie, welcome to our podcast.
Hi, Stuart. Many thanks for inviting me along.
Listen, it's great to have you. I've known you for quite a while. I've chatted to you a lot. And I've always been impressed by, I suppose, not just your story, but your attitude and the fact that you let nothing get you down. Just give us a very brief sense of who you are and how you got to where you are, maybe.
Well, I was brought up, thankfully, loving family and good friends. What happened to me, Stuart, was I had a brain tumour when I was a kid, and it damaged my optical nerve, which left me severely visually impaired. So I was struck down a number of times with that tumour, but came out the other side, thankfully. I couldn't see, yes, but thankfully I found, through the help of family and friends and people like yourself, and I met other blind people, that opened my eyes and made me realise, hey, there is things I can do when you're blind. So I went out and I discovered those things and just gave it a shot, and I've skied, I've jumped out of planes, I've done more than the average sighted person would do. But that's not because I'm blind, that's because you can.
Some people mention, you know, when you talk about things like this, some people say maybe if you had been, you know, an ordinary sighted guy and you hadn't had this brain tumour, would you have done half the things you're doing now? What do you think of that?
I may not have. I may have not have gotten the opportunities, but I think because of what happened to me, and because thankfully I found the positive side, that found the things that I can do, I think that forced me to rebel against what happened to me. So it forced me to do those things. I think if I hadn't lost my sight, it might have been the case that I wouldn't have been bothered doing things like that.
One of the things that lots of people talk about when they, come in contact with a disability during their life, as you did, is the way in which technology has made that journey easier. Was that the same for you?
Oh, absolutely. Unbelievable. It's opened up many doors. Like, first time getting a smartphone, like a text message. I knew what a text message was. All my friends and family were sending texts, but I knew what it was, but I couldn't send one. But a smartphone came along, opened up a total new world to me.
And for you in your work, I know you're working in Dublin, you know, computers and technology make that possible for you, right?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Like the likes of JAWS, having a scanner so I can, you know, read the page. It's amazing. Just technology has just gave me opened just so many doors for me.
Okay. So let's talk a little bit about what you're doing right now, because this is kind of the really exciting bit and one of the reasons I wanted to get you on the podcast. I noticed, I think on your Facebook, maybe about 6 months ago, you were starting to get involved in something that, to be quite honest, I find really scary, the whole idea of comedy, getting up, standing up and talking and, you know, getting people to laugh. And clearly it's worked really well for you. Tell us about it.
Well, I started, I suppose, the nervousness. I started doing motivational speaking, which I'll get to in a few minutes, but the comedy has come from that, where I was used to kind of getting up in front of people. But I learned through what happened to me, through losing my eyesight and through finding things that I can do and forgetting about things that I can't do, I kind of see life in a funny way by looking at the things that I can do and situations that I've got myself into. So I decided to get up on the stage and express it through comedy to people. And so make people realise, just because you have a disability, it doesn't mean you can't have a laugh about it. I'm not saying laugh at it. I'm just saying to make light of it, you know? And it seems to have taken off really well.
Do you think it's easier or maybe not easier? I don't know. Sometimes maybe. Do you think it's easier not being able to see the audience out in front of you? Because I imagine for comedians who are sighted and they're watching facial expressions in the audience and saying, oh God, they didn't find that very funny. You know, do you think it's better if you can't see them?
Maybe that's an advantage, all right. But at the same time, when you can hear them laugh, or if you hear people talking and they're not laughing, it makes you even more nervous. So how many people are there out there that are, you know, not listening? If we're only getting a little laugh, or is there only a small amount of people out there? Because people have said to me in the past, oh, well, I suppose to get rid of your nerves, you could just pretend there's one person in the room instead of 100. I said, but if I'm nervous, if there even is only one person in the room, in my mind, there's 1,000 people in the room if I'm nervous, you know? So to answer your question, basically, I think it's much of a muchness, really, whether you can see them or not.
You mentioned, Robbie, a few minutes ago, the motivational speaking and that sort of going out and speaking to groups and, I suppose, telling your story, but also giving a very positive message about how people with disabilities can sort of be meaningful participants in society. Tell us a bit about that.
Well, what I do is, in my motivational talks, I would tell my story, what happened to me. Yes, I had a brain tumour. I was very happy that they found a brain. That's the main thing, you know. And I'd make light of it. But I do tell the serious side of my story, that I had a tumour and had multiple operations, and it did leave me blind. And blindness is a disability. But then what I point out to everybody in the room is, okay, a disability means it's something you can't do or something you have difficulty doing. Well, therefore, folks, everybody in this room, everybody in this world has a disability, because everybody has something they can't do or have difficulty doing. So I would put it to them then, Stuart, to try and put it into perspective. I would say, if I was to give you all a pen and paper and I asked you to draw a line down the middle of the page, and I gave you 5 minutes to write on the left-hand side of the page things you cannot do, and the right-hand side of the page things you can do, I can guarantee you, folks, you wouldn't even need 5 minutes to list things you can't do. You need endless amounts of ink, paper and time to list things you can do. So let's look at the word again, folks, disability. Let's spell it differently. Let's put a small d, D-I-S, and a capital A in. And now, instead of looking at the left-hand side of the page, disability, let's look at the right-hand side of the page and look at this ability that we all have. And it's just really helping others, really, of how what I found and what other people helped me to find was the positive of life and looking at what you can do and not what you can't do. And it's just doing the motivational talks to get it out to people, to help them to put, you know, look at the positive side.
outside of, let's say, members of the public in the so-called able-bodied community, let's say, for a second, you know, coming up and talking to you, are other people with disabilities, other blind people maybe, or maybe people coming up to you saying, do you know something, this is great because you're making it easier for the rest of us?
Yeah, it has actually happened, and it's lovely. I'm quite shy about when people come up to me like that about that, because I don't want to kind of feel that I'm putting myself on a pedestal or anything like that, because I'm just the same as everybody else, and they're just the same as me. And it's lovely when people do, like, say someone that's blind or someone with some sort of an ailment, has come up to me and said, "How do you do it? That was amazing. Can I buy you a pint?" You know, and I kind of say, look, thanks a million. I appreciate you coming up, and I'm glad I was able to, you know, help you. But no, don't buy me a pint. Let me buy you a pint. Thanks for listening, you know. Mm-hmm.
So I suspect, Robbie, because I know every time I talk to you, you're kind of doing things. There's things in the pipeline. We're starting 2019. What's the year ahead looking like for you? What's happening?
I'm hoping to get into more, do more of the motivational talks in schools, really, secondary schools, which is, I think, teenagers are at it's a vital age where they're maybe under peer pressure, and they look at what, you know, their friends can do, and they, you know, they focus on their own negatives and not the positives. So I'd like to get into more of that, and I have a website actually now up and running if anybody wants to check it out. It's called optimisteyes.com. So that's optimisteyes.com, and basically all my details are there on it, and well, I want to go out and help people. So please God, now this year is going to be the year where I will hopefully help more people.
Brilliant.
Without putting myself on a pedestal, Stuart. You know me, I'm not one to put myself on a pedestal, but just to go out and be assist.
Well, I think what you're doing is just going out and maybe telling your story and giving your perspective, and that in itself is hugely helpful.
Yeah. That's it at the bottom line. That's all I'm dealing with. I'm just delighted that it's making an impact on people.
Okay, so people can go to optimisteyes.com and find out all about you and get in touch with you if they want to do that.
Yeah, if they so wish, no problem at all, yeah.
Okay. Robbie, thanks a million for chatting to us and for coming on the podcast, but also, you know, for kind of opening up, talking about your own story and what you do to make life for others better, but also to change the attitudes in society, which are really important. So thanks a million for coming on, and hope it won't be there.
I just want to finish on one thing to people that are listening to this, that just what I said earlier on, folks, like, it's not disability, it's this ability that you and I all have. So please look at what you can do with a capital C, and not what you can't with a small c, because it's about what you can, not what you can't. So go for it and do it. You've nothing to lose.
I think that's a great way to start into the new year. Robbie, thanks a million, and look forward to staying in touch with you. Take care.
Okay, talk to you soon.
Never cease to be amazed about how the way in which we consume music has changed very quickly over a relatively short period of time. I remember 20 odd years ago going into HMV here in Dublin and Golden Discs and buying CD singles when I used to produce a program on local community radio here. In the early 2000s, I was one of the many people using Napster on a very dodgy 56k dial-up connection to try to download the latest tunes. And later again, I was buying albums from iTunes. Of course, in the last couple of years, services like Spotify and Apple Music and Google Music have made our access to hundreds and thousands of songs so easy. We don't even need to buy them anymore. We just subscribe and listen to them as we want. This was made really apparent to me recently when on holidays in Lanzarote over Christmas, I heard a song in a bar that I really wanted to know what it was. I simply used my iPhone and asked Siri what I was listening to, and within a couple of seconds, I got the name of the track and a link to listen to it on Apple Music. All very straightforward, you would say. But how can we use some of the cool devices that we have here at Sight and Sound to take advantage of some of this streaming music service? Well, I'm going to give you one example of this today using something that I'm getting to like more and more every day, and that's the Polaris from Hymns. Now, we've talked about the Polaris on this podcast previously, but one of the really great things about the Polaris is because it runs Android, we can take advantage of thousands of Android apps from the Google Play Store, and that's what I'm going to show you today. Now, a couple of caveats before we start. First of all, remember that we are using an Android application. We are moving outside of the BrailleSense ecosystem. Hymns have created their own mobile screen reader to support our exploration of Android. But do remember that there's only so much Hymns can do, so there's no guarantee that every app you test is going to be accessible. So I suppose proceed with caution and have fun as you explore these things. Now, a couple of days ago, I installed the Apple Music app because I subscribe to Apple Music on my phone and on my Apple TV. So I used the Play Store option on the Polaris to go to the Google Play Store, installed the Apple Music app, and then signed in with my Apple ID. One challenge I had, by the way, when doing that was that when I went to activate the sign-in button, nothing happened. I was advised by Hymns to connect a USB keyboard to complete this part of the process. And interestingly, once I pressed sign-in using the USB keyboard, everything worked perfectly. So if you run into that problem, do just that. Let's press F1 to bring me back to my file manager, my main menu on the Polaris.
File manager F.
By the way, I'm using the Google TTS voice. So here we are with File Manager. The Apple Music app, and indeed any Android apps that you install, will be found in the All Apps category, which we can get to quickly by pressing the letter A.
Apple Music.
We're now in the All Apps category, and actually the first app is Apple Music. So I can simply press enter here. Now remember, I'm signed into my Apple Music account already, so let's see what happens.
Button for you, enter key to select.
The Apple Music app has now opened.
Button show navigation drawer, enter key to select.
And I'm now in the Android ecosystem. Couple of things you can do here straight away. There are two ways in which to navigate Android apps. One is to press F3 to move forward through your screens and space and F3 to move back. The other is to press spacebar with dots 4 and 5 to move forward and spacebar with dots 1 and 2 to move back. Personally, I prefer the latter option because I don't take my hands off the Braille keyboard, but it's really whatever you feel most comfortable with. But do remember that when you're navigating in an Android app on the Polaris, some of the traditional keystrokes change a little bit.
Button search, enter key to select.
So I'm now in Apple Music and I'm moving forward.
Button show navigation drawer, enter key to select.
Once I press enter on the show navigation drawer, I get a menu of options that appear in the Apple Music app. So let's do that right now. Here's the menu.
Account photo SL, Stuart Lawler. Stuart Lawler, enter key to select.
So it recognizes my Apple ID.
Library, enter key to select. For you, enter key to select.
So these are the categories you find on Apple Music. There's library, there's for you.
Browse, enter key to select.
There's the browse.
Radio, enter key to select.
Radio, which you can have a whole load of different radio stations.
Settings, enter key to select.
Settings.
Button, provide feedback, enter key to select.
And there's an option to provide feedback. I'm going to go up to my library.
Browse, for you, enter key. Library, enter key to select.
And I'm going to press enter.
Button show navigation drawer, enter key to select.
And remember again, I'm doing all this with the spacebar with dots 4 and 5 moving me forward and spacebar with dots 1 and 2 moving me back. That's the equivalent, by the way, of tab and shift and shift and tab.
Buttons, library, recently added heading.
So now I'm in my recently added in the library view, and last night here, we were watching the movie Toy Story 2, and I added a song from that movie by Sarah McLachlan. So let's see, can we see it here?
Button edit, enter key to select. Playlists, enter key to select. Artists, enter key to. Albums, enter key. Songs, enter key to select. TV movies, enter. When She Loved Me, Sarah McLachlan, enter key to select.
Here we go. So it brought me past a number of categories, first of all. But now we're on the recently added. When She Loved Me by Sarah McLachlan is the song I wanted. So I'm going to press enter here.
When She Loved Me. Download.
And I have a couple of options here. I can download it.
Button show complete album, play enter key to select.
And there was an option there to show the complete album because I just added one song, but here's the play button, so I'll press enter.
Play enter key to select.
And here's the song. So now my song is playing on Apple Music. From my Polaris, I'll press enter to pause.
Play enter key to select. Shuffle enter key to play enter button show complete album enter shuffle button enter key button see all enter key to select the long goodbye.
I may actually need to
key to select button disable next track button pause enter key to select.
There we go. Sorry, button, I had to enter key to select. I had to jump right to the end with spacebar and dot 4, 5, and 6 to pause. What I really like about this idea though, let's press enter here again. And I'm going to turn down the mixer a little bit. I'm going to press F1 now on the Polaris. And I'm in my file manager. Now, granted, the music is not ducking. The volume of the music is not ducking for my speech. But in most instances, I turn off my speech anyway. So I'm simply using Braille on my Polaris. But I have the added beauty of Apple Music as I work. So that's a quick, very quick tour of Apple Music. Try it out and let us know how you get on. And on a future episode of this podcast, we will show you the Netflix app on the Polaris. Well, as you know, it's all about great people on this podcast episode, particularly so on this podcast episode. And of course, earlier on, we heard from Robbie Ford and all the great things he's doing with his optimisteyes.com website. And now I want to introduce you to Amy Hines Fitzpatrick, another inspirational and all-round great person. I've had the pleasure of knowing Amy for a number of years. We actually had the pleasure of working together both in previous lives, and we've remained good friends. Amy published a blog post on her blog, which we'll talk about in a moment, on the 1st of January of this year, and it caught my attention straight away because it was a reflective look back at the last year where Amy set herself goals and she revisited these goals to see what she had and had not done. I caught up with Amy last week and sat down with her. Now, Amy's blog has been very vibrant for about a year and a bit, but actually she blogged a long time ago when she was in college, as she explained.
It was a long time ago, about 10 years ago when I was in college, I started blogging just about my experience as someone who's visually impaired and, you know, the obstacles or the solutions I came across. And then, of course, when I left the lovely cozy life of college and started working, I took down the blog. But in the last, I suppose, just over a year, I felt like I needed an outlet again. So I started up the blog again.
And you've been doing some, I know, and if people go and look at, and we'll give the URL and all that in a little while, but you've been doing some really interesting stuff about just everyday stuff, like you pieces about picking out clothes and how you arrange your wardrobe and what your Sunday night routine almost to kind of get you ready for the week ahead.
Yeah, some of it is a little bit nerdy and quite, I suppose, there's a kind of almost a policy and a practice behind everything. So even down to how you identify coins and things like that. Part of it is because this is what works for me, and I think it's nice to chat about what works for different people. But it's good as well for me to just have it documented, just so I can look back in a few years and be like, that's how I managed that situation quite well.
Mm-hmm. So you set yourself then in 2018, you looked at four areas of your life, and you blogged about this. I think you released this on the 1st of January 2019. I read it, and immediately sent you a text to say, can you come on the podcast and talk about this? Because it was really brilliant.
Thank you. It's so nice to get a, you know, an instant reaction from people. And this was that, it's probably one of the more personal blog posts in that it's very much about me as an individual. And I suppose, as you said earlier there, by taking the time to reflect on what I did achieve in 2018 or what did or didn't work before I set my goals for 2019.
Because in many cases, they link, don't they? So if there's something that maybe you looked at in 2018 and you said that worked, or maybe that didn't work because I didn't approach it in the right way, then you can sort of say, I'm going to do something different next year.
Yeah, and I think it's important to give yourself the space to identify what did work, and you can continue that. And one of my resolutions for this year is the same as last year, or, you know, areas like you said that I can improve on. But it's important that you do give yourself the space, because you need to give yourself a pat on the back, I think, because no one else is going to do it.
Absolutely. So the blog can be found at throughtheeyesofavip.com.
That's it.
Great. And Facebook and Twitter presence exist as well.
Absolutely. So on Twitter, it's at AmyVIP. It's AmyVIP. And the same for Instagram. Yep.
Okay. Amy, tell us maybe just before we finish up, because I know for you, and you've blogged about technology previously, what is the part that technology plays in your life, maybe both personally and professionally?
The two are definitely linked, and the two are also very linked to you, Stuart, in that when I was very young, you told me that technology was going to be my greatest equalizer. And that has stuck with me every moment and every difficult time I've had in my life. That's always stuck with me. So technology, my belief is that you get out of it what you put into it. So it's about spending the time to get to know the technology, figure out what's best for you. I use it in every aspect of my life. You know, different apps on my phone, different magnifiers, different programs like Zoom Text. It's integrated in every aspect of my life now.
One of the products that we have in our portfolio here at Sight and Sound, in fact, you were the first person actually that I saw really taking to this and really exploring it, is Orcam. And you spent a bit of time looking at Orcam about a year and a half ago, didn't you?
I did. I spent a good few weeks looking at it, and it was the novelty of a really cool, funky looking piece of technology. And it's nice to be able to test them as well when they're first coming into the Irish market. So I spent a good few weeks using it. I think the best thing for me was the autonomy it gave me, with very simple things like reading a menu, knowing the prices of things in shops before I went up to pay, reading a newspaper on a Sunday. That was a big day.
yeah, being able to just pick up the Sunday newspaper.
Yeah, and reading signposts as well on the street. That's something I don't think I've ever been able to do, so that was really nice. But again, you have to put in quite a lot of time to be able to use it correctly, and it's worth it then if it works for your lifestyle.
I remember a post you had about Orcam on your blog where you were talking about going to your local Centra store over here to get your lunch, and they have sort of special offers up behind the counter, but you would have never been able to see the special offers. Now you could point Orcam to the offers, press the button, and it reads the special offers for you, and you could know what you're going to have for your lunch.
Yeah, which was really nice, because, you know, it's always good to get a deal, but I could always see the shape of the offers. I could never just see the detail of it.
So 2019 for Amy, is there anything big in the plans?
So the goal that's transferring from last year to this year again is to cherish my friendships, because I'm very lucky with the people in my life. There's one around career as well, which is very important. Anyone who knows me knows that there'll always be a goal around developing my career further.
Yeah.
And the other big one then, on the success of what I achieved last year, which is a personal success to me, everyone has their own goals, but is to be less afraid of chasing what I actually want to do. So to be a little bit more brave about saying, I like things like driving, and I know it's not legal, but I'm going to do it on my farm because I want to.
Hey, let's do more of that. If we can get you driving on a podcast, let's try and organise that before the end of the year if we can.
Okay. Definitely.
Amy, thanks a million. And you know something, your blog is something that inspires me, and I know inspires many people, because it's honest and it's you, and it's those personal pieces that you put up, I think, that are so important. So thank you for sharing parts of your life with us, and thank you for giving us your time on the podcast today.
Thanks a million, Stuart.
Thanks very much to Amy Hines Fitzpatrick there. I always enjoy catching up with Amy, and I've no doubt Amy's going to be back with us in the coming months, definitely before the end of the year on this podcast, because she's always innovating and doing exciting things. So definitely want to keep in touch with Amy. www.throughtheeyesofavip.com. Make sure you have a look at Amy's blog, subscribe, and check out the huge amount of posts and videos on there as well. There's some really great stuff that Amy has put up. Robbie Ford, who was with us earlier on, is at optimisteyes.com. So, definitely two great people, definitely worth following and watching out for and keeping in touch with, because they're doing great stuff. Now, it's a really, really big month for us at Sight and Sound. It's January and we are celebrating 40 years. In 1979, in January, Sight and Sound was officially incorporated. So just wanted to mention that it's our 40th birthday and we're very excited, and we're looking all right for 40, I think. And finally, before we let you go, a quick mention that the Sight and Sound Irish branch have been busy in the last couple of months, a couple of weeks rather, developing our Twitter and Facebook presence. You can now find us on Facebook at Sight and Sound Technology Ireland, and on Twitter we're at SAST Ireland. So do follow us and like us and keep in touch with us and ask us if there is anything you need to know. That's just about it. Thanks to our contributors. We look forward to talking to you very soon on another podcast. For now, though, this is Stuart Lawler saying thanks for listening, take care, and goodbye.